Good afternoon and welcome to Buzz Radio, the South's premier debating station. I'm Ben Whitlock.
And I'm Oliver Dyer.
Today we'll be discussing the EU referendum and how Brexit will affect the UK and the South Coast. Coming up on the show, we have a range of local voices who'll give you all the information you need for the vote on June the 23rd. Mid-Dorset and Northpool Conservative MP Michael Tomlinson will be telling us why he thinks the UK should leave the EU, whereas Green Councillor Simon Ball will be professing his pro-Europe views. We'll also hear from political editor Miles O'Leary in Portsmouth for the news, who'll be talking about the mood among the public in the South and the political implications of the referendum.
Furthermore, we will also be talking to British expat Marvin Coleman, who'll be talking about the possible problems of British Brexit outcome would have on our holiday makers and other expatriates. Also, we will be discussing how the outcome of the referendum may affect AFC Bournemouth and Southampton Football Club.
The EU debate has been prominent in British politics since Margaret Thatcher's administration over two decades ago, and now it is truly at the forefront of the public interest. It has divided the Conservative Party, with the former Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, positioning himself on the Leave side, defying Europe advocate Prime Minister David Cameron. With the vote less than 5 weeks away, campaigners for both sides have intensified the discussion. Someone who supports leaving the European Union is a local Member of Parliament, Michael Tomlinson, who Ollie spoke to earlier today.
Good morning, Michael. So you have established yourself as an advocate for the Leave campaign, the upcoming EU referendum. Can you tell our listeners what your reasons for leaving the European Union are?
Yes, I've got two main reasons for leaving the European Union. So the first one is sovereignty, which means to me effectively bringing powers back to this country away from the EU. And secondly, it's about taking back control in terms of our finances and things like that. Now call me selfish, but I'm a Member of Parliament and I've been elected to go up to Westminster, to London, to help make our laws. And more of our laws are coming from the EU, coming from regulations and the like. And I think it should be us elected politicians that have the final say, the ones who are here in Britain. And more of our electors are getting disillusioned with politics. And I think part of that is because elected representatives are not making all of the decisions. So those are the main reasons for me.
Okay. And do you feel that a referendum on Europe has been a long time coming, given the controversy surrounding it at the end of Margaret Thatcher's and at the beginning of John Major's premierships? Or is it that recent factors like the Eurozone and refugee crises has led to a more Eurosceptic nation?
Well, I'm not sure that they're either or. You're absolutely right. It has been a long time coming. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It was over 40 years ago that there was the last vote on this subject. That's before I was born, Ollie. I think that's before you were born as well. So we've got a chance, really, to shape a generation and to shape our future. So it has definitely been a long time coming. And I think it's the right thing to hold a referendum and actually not to give the politicians the choice, but to give the people a choice.
Yeah. And on your website, you state that you do not accept the scaremongering on both sides to the effect that we are doomed unless we vote one way or the other. Consequently, what are your views on Boris Johnson's comments that the EU is trying to unite Europe like Napoleon and the Nazis tried to? Is Boris Johnson merely just fearmongering, or is his analogy legitimate?
Well, Boris is a very colourful character, and he's a rare creature because he is a popular politician, and most politicians are deeply unpopular. But Boris managed to be both a Conservative and a Mayor of London, and also to be popular as well, which is an amazing achievement. And he's also a historian, so he knows all about these things. And I wouldn't use that language myself. Personally, I think we're big enough as a country to survive and thrive, whether we are inside or outside the European Union. But I personally believe that we will be better off outside the European Union. And many people say, well, we want to hear the facts rather than the personalities.
Yeah.
So I personally will be keeping, hopefully, moderating my language. But Boris is Boris, and he's brilliant.
Yeah. And finally, how have you been campaigning for a Leave vote in the Dorset and Poole area? And how would you summarise the mood amongst the local public towards the EU?
Well, in many ways, it's similar to a traditional campaign. We have leaflets with the Leave campaign. You'll see posters that are going up, although perhaps not as many as you see at the general election. There are public meetings, and my constituency in Dorset has three local authority areas, and I'm going to be holding meetings in each of those. There are also street stalls and the like. And you'll have seen in Dorset that the battle bus came to Dorset this week. So it's part of a traditional campaign. But in many ways, it's unusual world, because we've already had lots of elections. And so I just hope that lots of people get out and vote and make sure they decide one way or the other on June the 23rd.
Yep. So would you say that the public is swaying towards remaining or leaving at the moment?
Well, it's really difficult to say. Most people that I speak to are saying, well, they want the facts. They want more information. Many people that I speak to don't actually like the EU. Even those who say they will vote to remain don't actually like the institution of the EU.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of turnout and whether enough people come out on the day and support us. I suspect it's going to be a very close thing.
That was Michael Tomlinson, MP for Mid Dorset and North Poole. There were some interesting comments from him there, Ollie. What is your impression of the Boris Johnson comments?
Firstly, Ben, these remarks are being said by a probable Prime Minister, which raises concerns about his potential leadership. I think that Boris Johnson is being a bit extreme in his parallels between the Nazis and the EU project. The EU may be trying to create an ever closer union and a superstate, but is it really as bad as the Nazi agenda? The EU is made of 28 states, all of which joined voluntarily, not by force. The remarks are quite unorthodox, really.
Perhaps someone who can give an alternative view of the reasons for remaining in the EU is Green Councillor Simon Ball, who is with us live in the studio now.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you for coming here today.
Good afternoon.
Having just heard Michael Tomlinson say that he wants to leave the EU to regain sovereignty and control in finance, can you tell our listeners what your reasons are for remaining in the European Union?
Certainly, yes. I think there's a number of reasons why we should stay in the Union. For example, the EU has been the Brexit campaigners say that the EU is overregulated, but the thing is, these regulations that they speak of protect the workers, the vulnerable, the environment, and the natural resources. So they're very important that we keep these in place. If we leave the EU and we want to trade with the EU, we will have to comply with the same laws and regulations in order to trade with them. Just that we won't have any say in how they come to form these laws and regulations.
Okay.
TTIP, another great issue at the moment, is an abhorrent idea. And those in Europe who recognise it for what it is need to join together and campaign against it, because the current government wish to push it through regardless of what the people want, and will sign it whether we're in Europe or out of Europe. And again, if we're out of Europe, we'll have no say in the matter. We'll just be a signatory on it. And freedom of movement is very important. How many staff in our NHS, in our hospitals, are doctors, nurses and consultants come from EU countries? And there are concerns about whether leaving the EU will have a negative impact on language schools, which is an important part of Bournemouth's economy.
Okay, and as you said, it's been suggested by your party that leaving the EU will actually have an effect on Britain's environment. Could you explain this? Could you explain to our listeners what the European Union actually does for Britain's environment?
Yes, yeah, certainly. 80% of our nature laws are derived or based on EU protective legislation. And as we know, here in Bournemouth, we have the best beaches in the land, and they are clean beaches thanks to EU rules. The EU Bird and Habitats Directives, air pollution, water quality and the anti-pollution regulations all come to make our environment a much healthier place to be in. It's the current UK government that is sorting to implement fracking under our national parks, which focus not only on, and our government focuses not only on the breaches of air pollution thresholds, but on trying to avoid fines for lack of action taken to protect us.
Okay, and a statement released by the Green Party said that the EU isn't perfect, yet you still want to remain. Do you still stand by this statement, and can you elaborate as to why you think the EU isn't perfect and what actually needs to improve?
Obviously, it's not a statement that I personally have made, but it is true that the EU isn't perfect. Part of the problem is that we don't engage fully. We have an allocation of 1,300 people that could work in the European Commission, and we have, I think, 500 people short of that number. Those are approximate figures, but there's a lot more we could do to be in there working with Europe. Certainly the common agricultural policy needs a total overhaul and another look at, and as does the fishing policy. So there are nothing, it's not perfect.
Okay. And finally, how have you been campaigning for a Remain vote? How would you summarise the mood amongst the local public towards the EU?
As your previous speaker said, it's a bit like a general election, getting out there, talking to people.
Yeah.
We have leaflets, posters, all the usual thing. I've been attending a couple of debates, one here at the university, and another one at Townsend Community Centre, where we've been debating the issues and trying to get facts across. I think Mr. Tomlinson also mentioned that the need for people to understand the facts and not have the fear-mongering that's been going on.
OK, and so you said just then, would you summarise the mood amongst the local public as to remain at the moment or to leave?
I think it's more for the Remain side.
Remain side, yeah.
I would say 60% possibly, but, you know, it's 5 weeks. A lot can happen in 5 weeks. People need to understand what's going on. And as he said, the most important thing is that people get out there and vote.
OK, great. Thank you ever so much for coming in today, Simon. Take care.
Thank you.
One issue causing concern for both the Remain and Leave campaigns is that of immigration into the UK. Last week, the Office for National Statistics declared that an extra 1.5 million EU migrants came into Britain from 2011-2015, either on a short-term or long-term basis. Leave campaigners argue that with a national housing crisis ongoing, immigration into the UK at this rate is unsustainable. Remain supporters, and in particular Labour voters, argue that immigrants contribute heavily to the economy and that increasing border control would be detrimental. What do the facts say, Ollie?
Well, as you were saying, Ben, an extra 1.5 million EU migrants came to the UK, taking the total to 2.4 million from an anticipated 900,000. According to MigrationWatchUK.org, immigration at the current scale of 330,000 a year has led to the population of the UK being increasing at a faster rate than any time in the previous 90 years. You mentioned housing there, Ben, and figures say that to meet overall demand, it is estimated that the UK needs to build 240,000 homes a year, which is nearly one every 2 minutes.
Wow. So, what about the economic impacts of the EU immigration into the UK?
The University College of London stated that from 2001 to 2011, EU immigrants contributed £20 billion to the economy. However, MigrationWatchUK.org stated that the cost of immigration into the UK cost the taxpayer £18 million a day from 1995 to 2011. Yet immigrants arriving in the UK after 2000 were 43% less likely than UK-born workers to claim welfare grants.
OK, and how have EU immigrants affected public services like the NHS and education?
Well, the UK has received valuable human capital and vital skills that would have cost the UK £6.8 billion in education. Furthermore, the UK relies on foreign doctors more than any other EU nation, with 35.4% of all doctors in the UK born abroad. Britain was also the EU country most reliant on nurses, as just over a fifth were born in a foreign country. Although immigrants also have an inverse impact on said services, more migrants coming into the UK can put a strain on NHS resources, with maternity services becoming particularly overburdened. Also, an increasing population means traffic on Britain's road is expected to increase by over one third in the next 15 years, and by 2018 it's estimated that three-fifths of primary schools in England will have a shortfall of places.
Well, it certainly seems that there are numerous benefits and disadvantages to immigration. Thank you, Ollie.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, though, we take a look at the other side to the migration topic. We are joined by UK expat Marvin Coleman, who resides in Germany for a great portion of the year. Marvin Coleman is one of 2 million British expats currently moving between EU nations. Good afternoon, Marvin. I hope you're well.
Yeah, hi. I'm good, thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show. Could you tell Burst about yourself?
Yeah, sure. You've got my name, obviously. I'm 48 years old, I believe, and I currently live in Berlin from Thursday evening through till Tuesday morning.
Okay, and do you work in the UK, sorry?
Yeah, I work full-time in the UK, so I basically just commute to work.
Oh, okay. So how does Germany compare to the UK?
In what way?
In regards to culture and nightlife, things
all
to
right.
do.
Well, certainly in Berlin, there is always 1,000 things to do, but I guess that's like living in any big city. Cost-wise, I can only estimate that it's probably about half the cost of living from London.
Yeah.
Certainly, socialising and cultural events, things like that, are very affordable in Berlin. Transport, etc., I've investigated the possibility of perhaps living in London and commuting to my job in the UK, but okay. It's actually cheaper to commute to Berlin than it is to commute from London. So.
Okay, and are you planning to vote in the referendum?
I am, yeah.
Yep. Do you think a Remain outcome is vital to you being able to fly between Germany and the UK with ease?
I don't actually think it would make that much difference, to be honest. Certainly, I'm concerned that if we do leave the EU, then there'll be tax implications for expats like me.
Yep, so you don't think that if we leave that you'll have to get a visa to travel to Germany?
Well, potentially that could happen, yeah. I'd have to make that decision if that happened in that case. The opportunity to work from home is something that, with the current EU state, means that I can live anywhere in the EU and work from home, and certainly a lot of businesses seem to be promoting that at the moment.
Okay.
If there was implications, certainly. So for example, at the moment, I work 100% in the UK and I pay 100% tax in the UK and I pay national insurance and everything else, just as I would if I lived here. Yeah. And I don't have to pay any tax in Germany. So,
okay.
If we vote to leave the EU, then the Germans might change that.
Okay.
Then it would make it untenable.
And where do you like to holiday, Marvin? Is it a quintessential British thing to holiday? Would we be eroding that element of tradition if we did vote to leave?
Well, holiday aspect, I mean, I work in the holiday business, so, yeah, it's fundamental to me. The holiday is something, freedom of travel is something I believe passionately in, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be very upset if...
Do you believe that the freedom of movement is an essential human right, then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Certainly in this day and age where, you know, everybody is more connected on Facebook, then borders seem to have certainly less relevance. And my experience of speaking to people in Germany, and there's a very multicultural society there, you know, Europe doesn't have the borders in the way that the UK has the sort of natural island border. So we might think of ourselves a little bit differently just because of that.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much for coming on today, Marvin. It's been very nice speaking to you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I love a bit of sun, so that's something to bear in mind. It's an interesting argument, isn't it, Ollie? I know Justice Minister Dominic Raab said that British citizens may need visas to go abroad in Europe, which is potentially a negative side to Brexit. Would that sway your vote, Ollie? Where do you like holidaying?
Well, I like to go on cruises. I've been on one before. My nan took me on one for a wedding anniversary. Yeah, she went with the whole family, so I like cruises.
No, it's all very interesting. Still to come, we have views from the public, which political editor Miles O'Leary will be digesting, and we talk about leaving the EU could mean for AFC Bournemouth and Southampton FC. Welcome back. We now have political editor Miles O'Leary of Portsmouth's The News on the line, who we'll be speaking to shortly. Firstly, though, we're going to listen to what some of the South Coast residents had to say about the European Union.
In. Because I think that the EU has given us lots of human rights legislation, it's given us lots of workers' time directive.
I'm probably in. Nobody knows what it's going to be like either way.
Philosophically, I'm in because I think it's important to be part of a broader community where there's diversity and freedom of movement.
My leaning was always towards coming out. I felt Brussels had too much control over our laws and legislation.
We are investing too much money into the EU, so I'm voting out.
I'm definitely going to be voting out of the EU referendum because I haven't been given enough information about the pros and cons and why we should stay in the EU or not.
So, over to Miles O'Leary. Good afternoon, Miles.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you very much.
So, can you expand on some of the issues the public had for wanting to leave you with regards to freedom of movement between countries? And what was the general feeling towards the EU from what you have covered for your newspaper?
I think one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, have people got enough information to make an informed decision when they go to vote in the referendum on the 23rd of June? My answer would be no. I don't think people know enough about the EU institution, essentially how it works, who the members of the European Parliament are, the fact that we even have members of the European Parliament who are representing us in Europe and helping to shape policies in our country.
Yeah.
And I think the danger is people will go to vote and they won't have that knowledge about how the EU works, how it's been a force for good and arguably bad as well. And I think the danger is, you know, afterwards that there could be, you know, we could see a decision made that will not benefit the country as a whole.
Yeah, sure.
One, because turnout could be low, because people just are not interested and don't care, and because they're not informed enough. And, you know, again, people may vote one way or the other and not really be 100% sure and confident in their decision.
Okay, so having said that some listeners may not be informed, could you inform our listeners now on how the main authoritative figures in the South Coast area, such as MPs and big business owners, are intending to vote? And do any of the stances of any particular figure surprises you?
It's really interesting, actually, in Portsmouth, because our two MPs, their views are completely opposite. So the Portsmouth North MP, Penny Morden, is one of the kind of driving factors in the campaign to leave the EU. And in Portsmouth South, we have Flick Drummond, who is very much part of the campaign to remain in Europe. We have some big businesses in the area, such as BAE Systems, Airbus, who are very much wanting for us to stay in the EU. And Rolls-Royce as well, another company that, you know, relies heavily on international exports, also believes that we should be remaining in Europe.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So could you inform our listeners on how the... Oh, no, wrong question. As a journalist, do you think the big tabloid newspapers such as The Sun, The Express, The Daily Mail and The Mirror will play the biggest part in influencing the outcome?
I think they're going to have a huge influence because I think, you know, like really with the run-up to the general election, there was a lot said in the national press about if you vote for Labour, then we'll have Scottish nationalists running, you know, helping to run and inform people about policies in our country.
Yeah.
And people were really concerned by that. And it was, you know, arguably you could say it's one of the big factors in why the Conservatives cruised the majority victory was because of the lines that were put out heavily in the national press about that. And I think, you know, we're just over a month away now until, you know, arguably the biggest vote in our generation,
yeah,
bigger than any general election. And what those papers have to say over the next month, I think, will be absolutely crucial because papers like the Mail and the Sun have a massive reach, not just in print, but in online as well.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have a huge say.
Okay, so is there an emphasis on impartiality when reporting on the EU referendum for your newspaper? And if so, do you find it hard to conceal your opinions?
I think it's absolutely integral that we remain impartial in our reporting of the EU. I think it's no mistake to say that Britain, Portsmouth, I think he's quite sceptical of the EU, and I think it goes back to what I said there about people are, I think, misinformed and don't have enough information,
yeah,
about what the EU institution is. And the council here was the first council in Britain to actually declare itself as a council that wanted to leave the EU following the full council. I think for us it's absolutely key in the run-up now to the referendum as a paper, and I think everyone else should be doing the same. It's just, it's about informing people what the EU is so that when they go to vote, they know exactly, you know, they are making that decision,
yeah,
knowing everything that there is to know about the EU institution. And next, and I've been to Strasbourg recently to kind of learn more about what really is the European Parliament about, you know, and the EU institution.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for your time today, Miles.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Cheers, thank you.
Bye.
As I said to Miles, the national tabloids could have a huge effect on how undecided voters may sway, just as we saw in a general election last year. Can you see the same thing happening again, or do you suspect that many people have already decided, Ollie?
Well, as we know, newspapers play a big part in influencing many members of the public, and this is evident through the results of polls that papers such as The Telegraph report. Current polls from Ipsos Mori, a telephone poll, suggest that 55% want to remain, whereas 37% want to leave, with the rest undecided. The online polls, however, differ to a shorter margin. Britain Elects online poll states that 44% want to remain and 40% want to leave, with the rest undecided. Like with the general election, newspapers reporting such statistics may or may not influence people to vote, a factor which could play a big part in the referendum.
Okay, so it looks like with just over a month ago that most of the public want to remain, but there is still margin for influence, something Brexit campaigners and Remain campaigners will certainly relish.
Indeed, Ben, yeah.
Something that is extremely influential for some people in decision-making is football. As our audience will be well aware, AFC Bournemouth have been playing in the Premier League this season and did very well, finishing in 16th place and securing their top-flight status for next season. However, if they want to remain in the elite division for the long term, then Bournemouth may need to rely on a Remain outcome at the referendum, with the issue of freedom of movement potentially hampering international footballers' abilities to secure work permits. Eddie Howe may find his summer recruitment more difficult. As a result, questions have been raised about whether they can stay up in the Premier League, Ollie. What do you think?
Well, personally, I think it will affect the clubs, especially clubs like Bournemouth and Southampton. Bournemouth, for example, aren't blessed with the wealth that top clubs like Manchester City, like Manchester United have. So even if they do buy domestically, which Eddie Howe has said in the past they will do, then will they be able to compete with other clubs buying more domestically? I'm not so sure.
OK, so do you think it will affect clubs who already have foreign players in their side? And as you know, there are many in the Premier League so far.
100%. Some current foreign players in England will also need work permits. Players with an EU passport are currently free to play in the UK. Those without must meet home office criteria, the most important being that they are established internationals for leading nations. Clubs like Watford, for example, have 20 foreign players in their first team, and 11 of those first team players will have to get work permits. I'm sure Bournemouth will also be affected by this, only slightly, however, because they have a lot more British players, 20 altogether.
I agree. Well, Southampton have 16 foreign players, so it could affect them, and 9 out of them are in the starting 11.
Yeah, I think Southampton are going down next year, Ben, I'm afraid.
Oh, dream on. Now some more news. The European Union may decide to ban high-power kettles and toasters as part of their eco-design restriction plan to reduce energy inefficient devices.
This news may well be met with hostility in Britain, with tea and toast a big part of many people's mornings.
Absolutely. I'm sure many of our listeners will be displeased if they find out they would have to go without a cup of tea or coffee and a slice of toast to start their day.
However, though, these possible restrictions may be beneficial in the long term, as they're designed to help cut carbon emissions, something which can hardly be criticised as a negative move on the EU's part, with internet routers, hand dryers, mobile phones and patio jet washers a potential threat.
You can see the reasoning behind this potential legalisation, but an attack on the classic British breakfast is something which may not be welcomed as a positive move by the European Union.
You may be right there, Ben, and some have already decided that the EU has gone too far with their energy-saving plans, such as UKIP MEP David Corbyn, who early in the year blamed the EU for the 4 attempts it took his toaster to brown his bread.
These concerns may be more widespread should the EU press ahead with legalisation.
Though the move to introduce these energy-saving plans is some way from being finalised, as the European Commission insists, it will listen carefully to any complaints people may have and will examine both sides of the argument. However, Britain will certainly be hit hardest by limitations placed on these devices, with the UK accounting for a third of all EU kettle sales.
It will definitely be interesting to see what happens in the future regarding this issue. Penultimately, we have heard some of the views from the local public being discussed by political journalist Miles O'Leary, and we've listened to what Bournemouth supporter, well, in our studio, we have had to say about the implications of a Leave vote on his beloved Cherries. If you missed any of this, you can go to our website, www.burst.co.uk, to listen again. Thank you to all our guests for joining us today, and thank you to you as well, Ollie.
Yeah, we've run through the facts regarding the impacts that immigrants have had on the population, the economy and public services. Subsequently, Marvin Coleman told us why he thought the outcome of the referendum may have an effect on his freedom of movement. So from me, it's goodbye.
And from me, goodbye.
Thank you.